Thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network. We're going to talk about Wisconsin theaters next on the show. And there's some dandies around the state. The first Wisconsin theater, I think, was built in Milwaukee the year 1842. And since then, many more have welcomed audiences from around the state. Our guest today is Jim Draeger. Jim has been with us a number of times on other topics. He's worked in the field of historic preservation and architecture at Wisconsin Historical Society for more than 30 years, most recently as the state historic preservation officer. He's the author of several books, including Picture Perfect, The Architecture of Wisconsin Theaters. So as we visit with him, I hope you'll join in. What are your questions about the history of theaters in Wisconsin? Have you visited an old theater or performed on a historic stage? I hope you'll join in. Let us know about your theater. Join the conversation. Number to call, 800-642-1234, or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. Jim Draeger, welcome back. Good to have you with us.
Thanks. Great to be here.
Let's start with when theaters begin to pop up around Wisconsin. What do we know about the very first two?
Well, theater existed long before the buildings that housed it in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. You know, some of the very early accounts of Wisconsin, you can find accounts of people performing plays or musicals or things like that. And they were often done in social halls or taverns. You know, the first theater group in New Holstein performed in a local tavern.
Sure.
So, you know, they performed wherever they could. The purpose-built buildings that were built specifically for theater are something that come along, as you said, in the 1840s and become a lot more prevalent in by the 1870s or so.
Yeah, and they were quite prominent in the 1800s, early 1900s.
Sure, we had no internet, you know, so for entertainment, people had to go out to find their entertainment, and it was quite a common thing. And in those early shows, they were generally local groups that were performing, kind of like the theater guilds that we have today. That all changed when the railroad came in. And once the railroad arrived, then it meant that traveling shows could travel by railroad. And there was a circuit that left out of New York that brought them from railroad stop to railroad stop across the country performing.
Really cool. What did the early theaters look like?
Basically just like big open, like town halls. Big open spaces, put up some chairs. Many of them were town halls. The Hazel Green Theater was in the town and still is in the town hall in the city of Hazel Green. And they just took that town hall space, put a theater stage up at one end and painted the room. And there they go.
Well, let's go through the evolution of theaters.
Sure.
We had the Opera House, the Motion Picture Palace, the Multiplex.
Yeah. Well, you know, in the beginning, they called them theaters, but that term fell out of favor because a lot of the early traveling groups were a bunch of vagabonds, and, you know, there were a lot of jokes that still exist today about people being unemployed who are in the acting field. So they had a pretty bad reputation. So when the first opera houses were built, they specifically chose that name to try to separate themselves from the kind of drunk, rowdy, and rollicking theaters of the past. And those opera houses, you know, that term gives connotations of like sophistication and style, and they generally weren't that. They generally were... had vaudeville acts, public speakers, lyceums, things like that. And they were meant to be educational, but they weren't highbrow like one might expect from Opera House.
Well, so then we go. We've got the Motion Picture Palace.
Yeah, right? Yeah. The opera houses are made possible by the railroad and these touring groups that come. But live performance had to share the stage with motion pictures once the motion picture industry started up, and by the early 1920s, they were building motion picture palaces that were basically vaudeville stages that also had curtains so you could show movies on the days that you didn't have live performances. And the opera houses were, the interesting thing about opera houses is they were philanthropic mostly. They were mostly built by wealthy individuals in a community who built an opera house to try to give people something to do other than hang out in the bars and drink. You know, they were looking for more wholesome entertainment for the community. So they would sponsor them and build them. And there were numbers of examples of those kind of opera houses that were built by local benefactors, the Payne Opera House in Oshkosh, the Mabel Tainter. In Menominee, those are two great examples of philanthropy-built opera houses. But once movies come in, it changes the economics of it, and motion picture companies start building theaters. And you have Fox Theater and Odeon and Columbia and other film companies building and operating theaters that, of course, showed the movies that they were producing in their lots.
I'm thinking about Madison for just a minute, and we had in Madison the Capitol Theater and the Orpheum Theater.
Right. Yeah.
I think we're probably two of the first ones in Madison.
Yeah, and those were both theater chains that were national. So, and they were quite expensive buildings. The Orpheum was built at a cost of over $1 million, which even today would seem like a pretty sizable chunk of money.
Yeah. Well, in today's dollars, it's a lot more than $1 million even.
Yes.
$1 million, but a beautiful theater.
Yeah, absolutely beautiful. And, you know, because they had to do double duty and show movies and do vaudeville, they had full stages with fly spaces behind them and, a lot of amenities that made it attractive to reuse them these days for performing arts.
I can remember going to the Eastwood Theater on Madison's east side to... there were some rock and roll, this when I was a kid, you know.
Sure,
some of
sure.
the rock and roll kids were singing on stage, but then there were movies there, too, that you could go and see.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I mean, it's no different today. To be successful with a theater today, you have to offer different types of entertainment.
What do you think about the multiplexes now? I mean, where you can see, that's the next stage up.
Yeah. The multiplexes, they started in the late 60s and early 70s. The first multiplex in Milwaukee was built in 1970. And it's going to be interesting to see what the future of them is in the time of streaming. Because now you can have immediate gratification. If you want to watch a movie, you can watch it instantly. You don't have to get in your car. You don't have to drive anywhere. And I think COVID did a lot to dissuade people from going to big public venues like that. And we haven't recovered from that yet.
Yeah, we haven't. I think movies that are grand in spectacle movies, I think will, my daughter and I went to see Avatar, the latest Avatar movie.
Sure.
And I was so happy we went to the theater as opposed to waiting for it to get on the screen.
Yeah, that's one you probably don't want to watch on your phone.
No, for sure. Or even on your home television set, if it's a good sized one.
I think that's a very good point. And I think there is a There's certainly going to be a future for those kinds of big blockbuster films. I don't think Marvel is worrying about about people going to the theater as much, you know.
Jim Drager, our guest today, fun talking with him. We're talking about Wisconsin's historic theaters, although the multiplexes certainly aren't historic. Well, they are, I guess, in a way.
It's all history, Larry.
it's all history. But we're going to zero in on three. The Pabst Theater, for sure, Mabel Tainer, and the Stoughton Opera House are three that I want to talk about.
Sure.
You'll be able to join in with Jim and I. Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234, or you could email to ideas@wpr.org. We'll take a quick look at the news. We'll find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Network, and then we'll be back with Jim. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network. We're taking a tour now of some of the oldest theaters in our state with our guest Jim Drager back with us. He's worked in the field of historic preservation and architecture at the Wisconsin Historical Society for more than 30 years, most recently as the State Historic Preservation Officer. And he's the author of several books, and we've talked with him about some of his other books. His book that we've sort of performs the backdrop for this is titled Picture Perfect, The Architecture of Wisconsin Theaters. So as we talk about theaters with him, I hope you'll join in. Is there a historic theater in your town? What do you love about it? Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send us an email to ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. And before we get into this, I just want to mention that we'll be bringing you special coverage of the inauguration of Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers and Lieutenant Governor-elect Sarah Rodriguez. That's tomorrow, live broadcast. It starts at 11. Instead of this program, you'll be hearing that inauguration. It's a group from Wisconsin Public Television Public Media, Frederica Freiberger and WPR State Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson will be anchoring our coverage. So you can join in for special coverage of the inauguration here on WPR and online at WPR.org. Let's talk about those three theaters I mentioned. I want to start, sure, and we'll be taking some calls as well, but the Pabst Theater in Milwaukee, and I'm embarrassed to say that's the one of the three theaters that I mentioned that I haven't attended. It's a National Historic Landmark. What can you tell us about its story?
Well, I think the interesting thing about that theater is there. That theater was built because another theater had caught fire and burned down. That was the big German theater in downtown Milwaukee. So Frederick Pabst, you know, he's at the height of his fortune then.
Yeah.
Owner of the largest brewing company in the world at that time. And so he stepped forward to build a new theater, and he made a pronouncement that they were going to open it within 1 year, which they did, which is quite remarkable when you think of a building of that size and complexity being finished in a year. The architect who designed the theater was, his name was Otto Strack, and Otto was sort of the company architect for Pabst.
Oh.
He designed many of the Pabst Brewery buildings at their complex there, including, as well as homes for members of the Pabst family. So he was sort of their inside architect, which may, you know, may tell you something of how it got done in a year or two. He had a lot riding on that. And I think the most distinctive thing at the time is it had a cantilevered balcony, which was quite a huge innovation because you no longer had posts supporting the balcony underneath that would interfere with the sight lines of the theater. So it was largely heralded because of that.
And it's beautiful.
Absolutely beautiful.
It's gone through some restorations, I'm sure, over the years.
Yeah. The big restoration there was in 1975. It was a theater that was quite in decline, and they brought it back as a performing arts space that point.
I've seen photos, I went online to the site. It's beautiful, beautiful building.
Pep's goal was to build a theater that was the envy of any theater in Germany. Wow. So he's really trying to put Milwaukee, which at that time was known as the German Athens, the Athens of the Midwest, he wanted to put it on the map, which it certainly helped to do.
Let's take some calls. Fred in Madison, thank you for calling.
Hi, I'd like to ask about two buildings, very different. One is the Hayton Opera House, in a town east of Chilton, Hayton, H-A-Y-T-O-N, a wooden building which existed into the 1990s. I think it's gone now. And the other is the Municipal Theater in Wausau, in downtown Wausau, built in the mid-1920s. If you could comment about these buildings, I would be happy. Thank you.
Sure. I'm not familiar with the first theater, but it was probably what they called an opera hall, which was basically very simple and kind of austere. They were generally on the second floor of commercial buildings, so they would build them and operate, rent out the first floor to give some revenue for the theater on the second floor. And they were quite common in small towns. There are still many of those existing in small towns. The one in
Wausau,
the municipal building, there was a brief history of communities building their own civic auditoriums that were built and operated by the city itself. And those exist around Wisconsin. There's one in Waterloo. The Stoughton Opera House, which we're going to talk about, was one of those. They had the same reasons that the philanthropists had in terms of supporting the construction of those, because they didn't want, rowdy drunks and vagabonds hanging around with nothing to do. So the theater was meant to be a diversion, and it fits in with all of those progressive movement things that were happening at the same time, like the construction of local libraries and hospitals and things like that, that were meant for civic betterment.
Interesting. Fred, thank you so much. Let's go to Margot in Stoughton. Hi, Margot.
Hi, Larry.
What's on your mind?
Well, I just wanted to put in a plug for the Stoughton Opera House. I'm an avid participant and donor, and I go to probably 8 to 10 shows a year, and the sound is just amazing. I have never been to listen to other music in other venues where the sound is that beautiful.
It does have superb sound. I've stood on the stage there and spoke, and the acoustics are just wonderful. You don't need any amplification at all. And that hall is what they call live. It's got a lot of hard surfaces in it and a lot of reverb, and it gives it a really rich sound.
Margo, thanks. Let's talk a little about the history of the Stoughton Opera House.
Sure.
And I would say I've been there. I saw sort of a musical play that Michael Perry wrote.
Oh, wow. Wonderful.
And based on his really best-selling New York Times best-selling book. And it was a wonderful play.
Sure.
But the experience of being in the Opera House itself was fabulous.
You know, it's always been about the experience in the opera houses, and that's why they're so opulent. You know, they're setting the stage for people's expectations who are in the audience by giving them a sense of that exotica of richness, opulence, adventure the design of the theaters helped to instill that in the moviegoers or the showgoers.
How did that first get built? Do you remember the?
It was built by the city as the city hall, and they just built it. It was called, I think they just called it the city auditorium for most of its life. And there was a brief vogue of those being built in coordination with city halls. Columbus also has a city hall with a municipal theater in it that still survives.
And that one, if I'm not mistaken, that fell into disrepair. It had quite a nice clock tower originally,
right.
And that wound up getting taken down over time as it. But
that's
tell
right.
us, how did the rest of that history go?
Well, you know, and they, like many of these theaters, they started to fall on hard times, these municipal theaters, when the movie atmospheric movie palaces sort of stole their audience away from them. And they ran into disrepair. And because it's taxpayer supported, you know, the taxpayers are reluctant to support things that don't have any use. So they just fell out of favor. And in 1960, I think it was, they tore the tower off the top of the city hall and left it, not in good repair. But the Stoughton Opera House was one of the many places that were converted into show venues and restored in the beginning in the 1970s and continuing. So they raised millions of dollars there.
And there was a lot of, if I'm not mistaken, a lot of, Margot was probably one of them who just called a volunteer.
Yes.
People working hand in glove to get this theater restored. I remember a nice piece in one of the local papers.
It takes many hands to do that work. And I think lucky for Wisconsin, there is a nonprofit in Janesville, the Jeffers Foundation, that has donated very significant money to a lot of these theater restorations. They donate, or they give away roughly $1 million a year, and they do it in challenge grants. So Stoughton got a challenge grant from the Jeffers Foundation and had to raise the money to match it. And Tom Jeffers, who runs that foundation, does it as a way to make sure that there's community backing for these projects. Mm-hmm. And he has made a very significant difference in these kinds of buildings. The Mabel Tainter Memorial was one of his projects. The Verona Opera House, the Sturgeon Bay Theater. There are quite a few of those projects. I'm missing some, I'm sure.
The Mabel Tainter Theater. Now, I'll tell you, when I was quite a bit younger, I had a girlfriend who was going to Stout.
Oh, yeah.
And she was in a play, and it was going to be at the Mabel Tainter Theater.
Yeah.
So I drove up for that, and I didn't really know anything about the Mabel Tainter Theater. And I
what a surprise that trip
godsmacked
was.
Godsmacked at that theater.
Yeah.
Tell us, and it's somebody told me some of the history of it, but talk about the history of that.
Yeah,
theater.
Well, it was built in 1889, and it was designed by a Minneapolis architect whose name was Harvey Ellis. And Harvey was really a genius architect, and he designed it using Romanesque Revival on the exterior of the building. So it's a cut stone, real heavy, blocky-looking building. Looks very medieval, big, deep slit windows and towers. And it's quite formidable-looking from the outside. But the most remarkable thing was the theater interior, because he designed that using Moorish Revival design. So it was influenced by mosques and other buildings from the Middle East, and the interior is really remarkable. It's the most remarkable of all the theaters in the state, I think.
Well, the interesting thing for maybe talk about the Mr. Tainter, and the background there, because I think that's really interesting.
Sure, he was another one of those philanthropic theater builders, and
was he a lumber guy?
He was a lumber guy. He was one of the owners of the Knapp and Stout Lumber Company, which I've heard argued was the biggest lumber concern in the world at one time. And his daughter Mabel went off to college and died unexpectedly. And
I think she drowned.
Yeah, so they built that as a memorial to her. They wanted to give a gift back to the community. And I think what was interesting about it is even at that time, Mr. Tainter thought of that building as being like a multi-purpose, multi-use building. So it housed the city library. It had club rooms where clubs met, the theater as well. I mean, it's kind of the way we think about those spaces today. He was ahead of his time that way.
Well, he was, and one interesting fact for me was my girlfriend Irene said beforehand, we were out there looking at the theater, she says, now look at the seats.
Yeah.
And they were different widths.
Yes.
And he made the seats different widths for his friends.
For different sized people.
Some were heavier and some not so heavy. Yeah. And so you could actually see this. And I thought, what would that have cost?
Yeah. You know, when they restored that building, they wanted to keep those seats.
Yeah.
And many of them were quite skinny by today's standards. And what they ended up doing was just putting a little trim piece on the side of each seat that made it a little bit wider. And they widened all of the skinny seats out.
But I think they must have left maybe the front row or something, because I remember seeing.
Yeah. That could very well be. I know they left a few seats there in that theater.
But the acoustics in that theater were wonderful too.
Yeah. That's what makes those atmospheric movie theaters easy to repurpose, is because they were used for vaudeville performances as well. They had very good stages, and they had excellent acoustics.
As a side note, my former girlfriend Irene did a very good job.
Good. The reviews were good.
the reviews were very good. I think not only for me but for others as well. I want to go back to the Pabst Theater for a minute, because someone said, wasn't this one of the first all-electric theaters?
Yes. Yeah, it was. It's claimed to be one of the first electrified theaters. I don't know. Personally, I don't know if that's true or not. But at that point in time, it's certainly at the beginnings of electricity, so it could well be.
And, of course, today it hosts, you've got comedians, you get pop stars.
Yeah, yeah.
Pretty much anybody. And on this, as for the, let me see. I just got an email in. Jim from Oshkosh called, couldn't stay with us. He says the Calumet County Facebook page would help out the caller who was wondering about the Hayden Opera.
Yeah, excellent.
So if that previous caller, I hope they'll go to the Calumet County Facebook page.
I'm embarrassed to say I've never been there, and I've been to almost every city in Wisconsin, so I'm just surprised.
And back to the Stoughton Opera House for a minute. One of the things that's really cool there is like that chandelier, and a lot of that, they had to redone the electricity and all of that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, part of the cost in redoing these theaters is all the systems. You know, they need all new mechanicals, electrical, plumbing, everything. All of that has to be replaced, because in most cases it's over 100 years old and it's really outlived its usefulness.
Amazing. How are... You know, I'm on the email list for the Stoughton Opera House, and so I get, they have a lot.
That's the secret.
just a whole variety of things.
Yeah.
that you can go and see and hear.
Yeah, they can, you know, to be successful, the theater's got to offer a multiplicity of programming, and the real art of it is keep it busy all the time. When it's dark, it's not making money.
Yeah, well, it's I'm hoping that the Stoughton Opera House is making. I think they must be. I want the show that I attended, the Mike Perry one, was a jam-packed audience.
Yeah, it usually is. It's usually sold out.
And most of them, speaking of sold out, I don't know how many seats are in the Stoughton Opera House, but what's the average? You know, are they 300, 500?
Mm. The biggest ones are going to be over 1,000, anywhere up to 2,500 or 3,000. And on the smaller end, they probably don't get any smaller than about 500, unless it's a small town theater, like an opera hall or something like that.
Well, I tell you what, it's fun to visit. Boy, if you haven't been to the Stoughton Opera House or to the Pabst Theater or to the Mabel Tainter.
Mm-hmm. I'd also recommend the Ringling Theater in Baraboo.
Yes, you know, I've been there.
That's the most spectacular interior of all of these theaters. It was designed it was modeled after the Palace of the Doges. And it's very, very ornate on the inside. It was built by the Ringling family. And at the time they built it, there are at least some theater historians who claim that that's the first motion picture palace in America.
Wow.
It was designed by Chicago architects named Rapp and Rapp, who became the most famous theater architects in America. And that was their first what they called atmospheric theater, meaning, you know, highly, highly ornate and very embellished.
Well, it's, I tell you what, as you listen today, if you haven't visited your own local opera house or community theater, get over there and take a look. You're going to be surprised at what you're going to find. And most of the time, you're going to be very pleasantly surprised.
Yeah.
Jim, always a pleasure. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah,
thanks
so much for being with us today. Jim's worked in the historic preservation and architecture field at the Wisconsin Historical Society for more than 30 years. Recently named, recently as the State Historic Preservation Officer. Fun to have him with us. I'm sure he'll be back at some point. We'll do this again.
I hope so. We've got to do it again.
Tomorrow, don't forget, we will be seeing or hearing the special coverage of the inauguration of Governor Tony Evers. I'm Larry Mueller for the Ideas Network.